Hello and welcome to the Northgate Podcast. Get ready for an exploration of the Gospel of Matthew and our new message series, Love God and Love People. The title of this study of Matthew is much more than a catchphrase. It is a call to action. We'll dig into what it means to love God and love others, even when life gets complicated. We want to push you to rethink how you live out the gospel message in your own day-to-day life. Let's have a listen.
Good morning, church. Happy Easter. It is so good to have you here with us. It's good to have you online participating in our worship service. I'm Pastor Vern, another one of the pastors here. And it is a real privilege and an honor to be able to be here and to share God's word and a message with you this morning. We are in a series called Love God, Love People. Before I go on, though, I wanted to mention that this Wednesday is the first Wednesday of the month. And here at Northgate, we always have a service we called Centered on the first Wednesday of the month, 6 o'clock from 6 to 7. It's a time of prayer, praise, and worship. And everyone is welcome and invited to come. So if you want to join us on Wednesday at 6, we'd love to see you. So we're in this series, Love God, Love People. We've been going through the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to wrap that up today. And then, as Pastor John said, we'll start a new series on church hurt next week. The message today is, the tomb was empty, so what? That's what I want to talk about today. And, you know, without Easter, really, there's no reason for us to be here. We love celebrating Christmas, right? I love celebrating Christmas, but Christmas has no real meaning. Christmas is just the birthday of another historical figure, perhaps, without Easter. But because of Easter, it changes Easter, it changes Christmas, and it changes everything else about our lives. So Easter is really the, I was thinking this morning, I think it's okay, the Super Bowl of the church year, right? It is the highlight. If you're into football, of course, Super Bowl is the highlight. Well, the Easter is really the most important part of the whole church year because it gives meaning to everything else. But is there a reason to believe that what we are celebrating today actually happened? Or is it all just a hoax? Is it just wishful thinking on our part that Jesus rose from the dead and that we can have eternal life through him? Is it a first century conspiracy that we've all kind of gotten sucked into as well? I mean, these are fair questions, and there might be some people here today on watching us online or here in the room who are asking those questions or have asked those questions or maybe have decided already that it really isn't real, but it's kind of a fun thing to do. I don't know. I believe it's real. I believe the resurrection of Jesus is real. I've studied, I've read, I've prayed about this, I've thought about it for a long time, and I am convinced that Jesus rose from the dead. I'm not alone. There's some very brilliant people. I was reading about Ian Hutchinson. He is a professor of nuclear science and engineering at MIT. And he's a Christian. He didn't grow up as a Christian. He didn't grow up in a Christian family. But as an adult, he was introduced to Jesus Christ. And through his study and through his seeking of God, he came to believe in Jesus. He believes miracles happen. He believes the resurrection of Jesus is true. He said on a podcast that I listened to this week that the actual resurrection of Jesus is the best explanation for Christianity. And there's a lot of reasons, a lot of arguments we could bring out to support the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Today, I just want to look at one, and it's this, the empty tomb. And my main point for the message is Jesus is alive and well and inviting all of us to a relationship with him. Now, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28 today, and I've invited my friend Jose Rene to come up and to read that portion of scripture with us. So he's going to be reading Matthew 28.
Hola. Happy Easter. He is risen. The resurrection. After the Sabbath, on dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Amen. Thank you, Renee. It's Sunday morning, and Mary Magdalene and another woman named Mary go to where they had seen Jesus buried, wanting to anoint his body with spices just a few days after his death. When they get to his burial place, the tomb that had been enclosed by a stone is open, and an angelic figure tells them that Jesus is not there, but that he is risen from the dead. And they are invited to come and see the place where he lay. They're invited to check it out for themselves. Take a look inside this tomb and tell us what you see. And what they see is no body. The tomb is empty. Jesus' body is not there. But what does it mean? And is it real? And I want to consider a couple of questions very briefly. And first is this: was the tomb ever occupied to begin with? Maybe this is all just a made-up story. Maybe Jesus is a made-up figure. Maybe he never really existed in the first place, and we've just been following a fairy tale that somebody wrote a long time ago. Most scholars, I will tell you, Christian and non-Christian, would affirm that there was a real person named Jesus. Whether they believe in Jesus as the Son of God or not, most scholars would say Jesus did exist. But not everybody thinks that. I was reading an article from American Atheist Magazine this week in which the author says he does not believe that Jesus ever existed. Now, I don't think anybody who puts an article in American Atheist Magazine would have a bias about Jesus, do you? Maybe. Of course, they might say the same about me standing up here and preaching about Jesus. I do have a bias. My bias is that Jesus is alive and he's my Lord and Savior. But I just mentioned this to say there are people who would say Jesus doesn't exist. He never did exist. And it's all a figment of the imagination. But most scholars are not going to say that. Most scholars are going to agree that he was a real person. We can't consult newspapers or photographs to check that out. And I don't want to get into the weeds on the question, but I will just tell you that if you look into it yourself, you will find there's as much reason to believe that Jesus was a real figure as there is to believe Julius Caesar was a real figure. And it's based on the same kind of evidence. In fact, without even looking at the Bible, we can look at two non-Christian witnesses, Josephus being one. He was a Jewish historian who lived in the first century, and he wrote in his histories about the death of the brother of Jesus who was called the Christ, whose name was James. We can read the histories that the Roman historian Tacitus put together from the first century, where he writes about the Emperor Nero's scapegoating of Christians, whose, quote, whose name comes from Christ. And there's more. In fact, if you look at all the non-biblical evidence and writings about that time about Jesus, you can affirm that Jesus lived. He lived in Judea. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate's governorship, and he had followers who believed that he had risen from the dead. And that's all, again, without looking at the biblical record. So Jesus existed, but did he die, and was he buried in a cave-like tomb? The four Gospels tell us that this happened. And outside of the Gospels, again, we can look at Josephus, that Jewish historian, because in another of his writings, he notes that Jesus was killed under Pilate. Pilate sentenced him to death by crucifixion. He doesn't give us any more detail than that, but he does acknowledge the death of Christ under Pilate. So, Jesus was a real person. He really existed. As a real person, he really died. But then what happened? Well, Joseph and Nicodemus, the Bible tells us, two Jewish leaders who had come to be followers of his, they took his body and they buried it in Joseph's tomb. Next question, was the tomb actually empty? The Bible says it was. As Christians, we believe that it was empty because Jesus rose from the dead and left the tomb, but there are many people who will claim that Jesus' body is still in a tomb somewhere and that that tomb isn't empty. Jesus is still dead. Maybe, for example, even though it was only 2 days from the time they saw where Jesus was buried, maybe Mary Magdalene and the other Mary that we read about that Sunday morning, they went to the wrong tomb. They went to the wrong grave. And that led them to believe that Jesus was alive and nobody's ever really found the real tomb. That's how some people would explain the empty tomb. One of the best reasons to believe that the tomb was empty, though, is because no one ever produced the body of Jesus. The Jewish authorities would have done so in order to stop the spread of the report that he had risen from the dead. They would have said, that's ridiculous. Here's Jesus' body. But they never did that. The Romans, they would have done it for the same reason, because they were not happy about the conflict that was gaining ground between the Christians and the Jews. But they never brought out the body of Jesus. Nobody ever brought out the body of Jesus. Another reason to believe that the tomb was empty is because the Christians did not make a shrine of it. J.P. Moreland is a theologian and scholar, and he says there were at least 50 places in Israel where people were making shrines of holy people, people that they worshipped and adored. And you know, they would do the same things that we do. They would go and they would visit these places. Maybe they'd lay flowers and they would pray there or sing songs. The Christians never did that at the tomb of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus wasn't there. There was no point in making a shrine of it. They knew Jesus had risen from the dead. What the Bible tells us is even Jesus' enemies acknowledged that the tomb was empty. The guards came back from the tomb that Sunday morning and reported it to the authorities. So Jesus lived, he existed, he died, he was buried. The tomb was empty, but why? Why was the tomb empty? Well, after the guards gave their report, the Bible says that the chief priests paid them to spread a story that the tomb was empty because the followers of Jesus had stolen his body. Now, we already talked about that a minute. The question is, why would they do that? Why would the followers of Jesus steal his body from a tomb and then start a story that Jesus was resurrected from the dead? Can you imagine the conversation that would have had to take place? This is just my thoughts on it. Well, guys, Jesus is dead, and we just spent three years with him for what? What do we do now? Hey, one of them says, I got an idea. Jesus talked about rising from the dead, right? Yeah, he rises in our hearts, yeah, in our minds, we'll keep him alive. No. What if we make people think that he's alive for real? I mean, all we have to do is steal his body and say that he rose from the dead. Great idea, let's do it. Now, we're going to have to overpower the guards at the tomb. So a few of you are going to have to distract them. Some others can come up behind them and knock them out so that we can, oh, we're going to have to move that great big stone, weighs 200-300 pounds. We're going to have to move that away from the entrance to the tomb. And then we're going to have to go in. I know Joseph and Nicodemus wrapped his body up in cloths. How about we just unwrap all those cloths, take his body out. Then we'll wrap those cloths, we'll fold those cloths up really nice again and just leave them in the tomb. And then we'll take Jesus' body out of there. Hopefully the guards will not have revived by then. And we'll hide it someplace and we'll tell everybody, Jesus is alive, Jesus is alive. Great idea. What could possibly go wrong with this? Well, maybe you know what went wrong with that, right? Because it wasn't very long before they were preaching Jesus is alive and the authorities were arresting them and putting them in jail and beating them and then starting to kill them. How does that conversation go? You know, they just killed James for preaching that Jesus is alive. Yeah, I know. But don't tell anybody that it's not true. Yeah, but what if they come for me next? Oh, well, you know, that's only two of us. There's more, right? I mean, it just doesn't make sense that the followers of Jesus would steal his body and make up a story like that. And that's not what happened. I already mentioned that the religious authorities, they wouldn't steal Jesus' body, and if they did, they would have produced it at the first opportunity to stop the Christian movement. There's a lot more theories put forward to explain what happened that first Easter. You can evaluate them on your own, read and study on Jesus. One is Jesus never really died. He was beaten, he was whipped, he was put on a cross, he was poked in the side with a spear, and then he was taken down. He was wrapped in linen cloths and buried in a tomb, but he really had just passed out. He never really died. At some point in that tomb, he woke up, got himself out of those cloths, pushed that stone away from the entrance, overpowered the guards, walked away, found his disciples, convinced them that he was alive, and then they started the Christian movement. Again, does that make sense to you? Some persons think that Jesus was a master magician who somehow hypnotized his believers into thinking that he had risen from the dead. There's even, I didn't know this one, I read this one this year. It's an old one, though, from the first century. It's called the lettuce theory. And the theory is that a gardener got sick of people coming to the tomb of Jesus and trampling on his lettuce, so he took Jesus out of that tomb and he buried him somewhere else just to preserve his lettuce. There are some lengths people go to try to explain away what happened that first Easter Sunday. That's just a sample. But the facts, as I understand them, are these. There was a person named Jesus who lived in the first century. He gathered a group of followers who gave up their lives and families to be with him. He was put to death by a Roman governor named Pontius Pilate. A few days after being executed, his followers began to believe that he had risen from the dead. These followers then spent the rest of their lives preaching that Jesus was the Son of God who had died for our sins and who rose from the dead. And they preached that message even as they watched fellow believers being imprisoned and killed for speaking about a risen Savior. And they never, ever backtracked on their message that the tomb of Jesus was empty because Jesus is alive. Whether you believe that or not, you should consider it. If you don't believe it, you should consider it because it makes a difference. What does the empty tomb mean for us? Well, go to 1 Corinthians 15. And Paul says this, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. So if the tomb isn't empty, and if Jesus is still in the grave, then death defeated Jesus. Our faith in him is pointless. We haven't been forgiven of our sins. We still carry them. Those who have died are without hope, and living for Jesus in this life is a waste. And what are we doing here? But, Paul goes on to say, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. So if the tomb is empty and Jesus has been raised from the dead, then he did what he said he would do, and we can trust every word he spoke. Sin has been paid for, and we are forgiven by God through faith in Christ. In Christ, we will all be made alive and live forever. Jesus is going to come back, just as he said he would. And all who have died in Christ will be resurrected to new life and return with him. All of his enemies, including death and sin and evil forces, will be vanquished. Jesus is going to rule over everything, and death itself will one day die. Finally, if Jesus has been raised from the dead, and we have placed our faith and trust in him, then we have a message and a mission. And it's in the last words that are spoken by Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus says to those who trust in him, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." If we love God and we love people, then there is nothing more important that we can do than share with people the reason for the hope we have, the good news that Jesus is alive and well and inviting all people to have relationship with him. A relationship that unites us with the God who created us. A relationship that's built on love and mercy and grace. A relationship that offers us freedom from the plague of sin and guilt and shame. A relationship that gives us purpose and meaning for our lives, and a relationship that will last for eternity. That's what Jesus is offering to you through faith in him. Let me close with this. It's from a podcast I listened to this week. Paul Kingsnorth, was an atheist. He was no believer in Jesus, no believer in miracles, no believer in a resurrection. He considered it all rubbish. He said, obviously, he didn't die and return to life. That's simply nonsense. Instead, he sought meaning for his life through Buddhism and witchcraft and other means. And then he says, "One night, I dreamed of Jesus." Somehow he knew it was Jesus in his dream. And he began to sense Jesus everywhere. Though he tried to run away from him, he went to his son's school concert, and he says, looking around at the people gathered at that concert, I'll read what he said, quote, "I was overcome with a huge and inexplicable love, a great wave of empathy for everyone and everything. It kept coming and coming until I had to stagger out of the room and sit down in the corridor outside. Everything was unchanged, and everything was new. And I knew what had happened and who had done it. And I knew it was too late. I had just become a Christian." You know, the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus really is pretty powerful when you look into it. But the most powerful evidence that Jesus is alive is how he changes us, what he does to us when we have an encounter with a living Christ. It changed the disciples. It will change us. But how do we get it? First, we have to open our minds to the possibility that what the Bible says could be true. And then we should read the Gospels and learn about Jesus with an open mind and ask God to reveal to us what we need to know, and then listen carefully. Let's pray, and then we're going to take communion together. Glorious God, we thank you for this wonderful Easter morning. We thank you for every Easter morning that has happened since the first Easter morning, because there are so many people throughout history and in our present time who are worshiping and loving Jesus and praising Jesus because he has risen from the dead, and he offers us new life, and we give you praise and thanks for that. Lord, we ask that you would make the resurrection of Christ so real to us. If there are people here listening who have doubts about that, I pray that you speak to their hearts and minds, that you will help them to open up and to examine the evidence for themselves and to let you do your work in their lives. But I pray for all of us, Lord, that you will continue to make the resurrection real to us. Help us to live in the power of the risen Christ. Help us to live knowing that we have new life through him, that we are free of our sin and guilt and shame, and that we can look forward to eternity with you and with all who love Jesus, because Jesus is alive and well. And we give you the thanks for this in his name. Amen. And all the people said, amen. The takeaway, he is not here. He has risen just as he said. So we're going to close with a traditional Easter greeting where I say, he is risen, and you respond in good, loud, healthy voices, he is risen indeed. Ready? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Praise God, and go have a wonderful Easter.
We want to thank you for listening to the Northgate Podcast today. We hope that this message inspires and encourages your faith. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.